Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard, your host from FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sycamore of PeterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trev, we're rolling through the 2018 NFL Draft order, talking about, if you guys haven't listened, go back to the last couple podcasts and listen. We're going through, we're doing four teams each episode, and we're talking about their needs, their offseason outlooks, their draft projections, you know, who might be on the board that's appealing to them at certain ranges of the draft, trying to give you as comprehensive a look at each NFL team as we possibly can. And today we move to picks 21 through 24, which means the Buffalo Bills are on the clock for back-to-back selections today, which, if you ask me, they probably trade out of by the time the draft comes around, maybe even on draft day, Trev.
I think one of them is going to certainly be ammunition, if you will, if not both of them, because this is a team that likely is going to be wanting to pick a quarterback. And if they wait till 21, I mean, got to think that the only quarterback that's going to be left is Lamar Jackson. Now,
and Mason Rudolph, probably.
Like, I'm great with Lamar Jackson as a prospect. Like, I think both you and I are cool with a lot of things that he does. But in terms of the NFL, like, I don't think the NFL is going to be down with that. So, especially a team that is, like, getting rid of Tyrod Taylor's kind of, you know, passing and running ability. They tried to play Nathan Peterman so many times this season. So,
yeah, I mean,
I've got to think that there's going to be some ammo in these number 21 and 22 picks.
I think so too. I'd be surprised if Buffalo doesn't package him to move up for a quarter. I mean, if you're McDermott, your new head coach, you feel like you made some progress with your guys on defense. You got rid of a ton of guys who were here before, and kind of made it your group. And I don't think this is a great defense by any stretch of the imagination, but it's closer to what kind of he envisioned. I think he knows that the changes that he makes there aren't going to matter. You know, development is what's more needed on the defensive side of things, you know, in some areas at least, than anything else. I think what McDermott really needs at this point is to address the other side of the ball. You have LeSean McCoy still in his prime, you know, still a great running back. You have a capable offensive line. Dawkins played well last year. Deion Dawkins, Jordan Mills at right tackle, you know, is suitable. Incognito at left guard. Wood is now retiring, but Ryan Groy played really well for Eric Wood last season, so you know that's a nice piece. And John Miller's hopefully back in the fold with DeBole back in as the offensive coordinator now. I hope they go back to the more gap power type concepts, and so I think that you'll see a little bit of a return to those types of things for the Bills, which is a good sign, and I think that you feel pretty comfortable with the offensive line, maybe some guys down the road in the draft that you grab. But the way that this group currently stands, there are some crying needs for the Bills, even outside of quarterback. I mean, wide receiver is bad. I know you're hoping Zay Jones develops further in his second season. Calvin Benjamin, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, he just isn't the guy that teams want him to be. Like, I don't know how else to say it, man. Like, he's pretty average at best. And so they need receiver help, but then I know the defensive side of the ball feels like, you know, kind of the second priority here, but it's hard to look at that defensive line and say, okay, Kyle Williams, I mean, Adolphus Washington was horrible last season. So Kyle Williams and what's left of Jerry Hughes, I mean, he's not a high-impact guy on every down. You know, who's going to be, I think you need a defensive end and a defensive tackle. So those four needs, wide receiver, defensive end, defensive tackle, quarterback, that is what makes this interesting for Buffalo and why I think they almost should try and be aggressive in the offseason and try and find a quarterback in free agency so they can sit at 21 and 22 and use two first-round picks, you know, and grab a couple of those guys.
What are some – I mean, is Cousins the big free agent guy that – I mean, outside of Cousins, can they fix it in the offseason?
I think they could. I mean, if let's say the Vikings are in on Cousins, you don't know what Case Keenum's situation is then. I mean, Nick Foles is an option and not a good one, I don't think. But again, if you're the Bills, you might be in a tough spot where what are you going to do a quarterback that's realistic? You know what I mean? If you sit there. So, I mean, I'm all for trading up to try and get your franchise guy if that's the direction that they're going to go. But there are other holes on this team, I think, and I could see them kind of strategizing and thinking about what their best options are and saying, okay, if we can go out and get a guy in free agency this year in what's a good group, And maybe that's Cousins. Maybe it's Case Keenum. I've heard, we've kind of heard that Sam Bradford, it's not looking hot, too hot for his return, given his knees and the situation there. And so
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
I know.
It's been kind of, I don't know why people, I don't know why people think that Sam Bradford's still going to play quarterback.
Yeah. Well, you think they're going to move in positions?
Well, yeah, he's going to move the wide. He's going to move the wide receiver.
He and Lamar Jackson, they could draft Lamar and, you know, bring in Sam Bradford, play both a wideout. But yeah, no, I.
So what is, I mean, like, what's
trying to find?
Yeah,
my
they
list
certainly of they certainly got a couple areas where they can go, which I think lends itself to them keeping both of these picks. But if we're looking at a, what's the most realistic spot for them to move up? Is it Indianapolis at 3?
I think it's the Browns at number 4. Because the Browns wouldn't have any. Here's the thing with the Browns that people are missing.
I can see that.
We talked about this a little bit, but you know, if you look at the Browns roster, yeah, I know it's the Browns, but they've actually kind of built a pretty decent group. I mean, their top needs, if their defensive line's pretty much set, the linebacker group is pretty much set. The offensive line, even though I think that it has some weaknesses, is probably not something. I mean, right tackle, maybe. But do you address that at number 4 in this tackle class? You know, quarterback, once they get their quarterback at number 1, you can move down and grab a running back. You can move down and grab a wide receiver in this draft. You can probably move down and find a right tackle in this draft. You can move down and find a cornerback in this draft. Those are their top needs. I'm not sure anybody will fit the bill unless maybe they fall in love with Minkah Fitzpatrick, because Bradley Chubb, not a real need for this team, you know?
Oh, yeah. I see what you did. Oh, you said fit the bill. I see what you did there.
Fit the bill with Fitzpatrick. Yep, that's what I'm here for.
That's good. No, that was good.
But Bradley Chubb, Roquan Smith, Quentin Nelson, there's not really a spot for those guys, you know, in terms of playing the way that they would obviously meant to be played, being that high of a pick. You know, this team has Joe Schobert was great last year, Christian Kirksey, Jamie Collins, the linebacker group is set. Defensive ends, Myles Garrett and Emmanuel Ogbah aren't going to come off this field. I mean, those guys are going to play heavy. I mean, Ogbah already does, and Garrett will in his second season. He was your first overall pick. You're not rotating him with another guy that you take top 5 overall. You know, as much as Bradley Chubb would help any team, it's just not a smart investment of your resources. So given that situation, I feel like it's kind of cornerback or bust unless they really fall in love with Saquon Barkley, and that's kind of the catch is that if you love Barkley at 4. But anyway, that's why I think the Browns could trade down, because the positions that they need to address, you really they're in that range at number 4, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Plus, they need a couple different spots, so they can move down and grab a guy that fits one of the – or grab two guys, you know, if they get both those first-round picks and – or you use those picks and jump back up or something like that, or jump back up from one of those picks to grab somebody sliding. So I think they could be in a great position to add some resources by being able to move back in the draft. And I think the Bills, like you said, quarterback could definitely be an option for this team. We've talked a little bit about the free agents that are going to be available at quarterback in other episodes on the podcast. It's going to be a decent group. Are there going to be high-end starters available? I don't know about that. But maybe the Bills don't feel like that they need one to be able to compete. I would disagree, but we've seen teams go that route before. And, you know, the Bears last year with Mike Glennon comes to mind, you know, just get a guy that can manage things.
Right.
He couldn't even do that, but I think the Bills could opt to look for somebody maybe along those lines. I think if they stay put, let's say they stay put.
Sure.
I think they don't address quarterback if they stay put.
No, I don't think they're going to be able to. No, I'm with you. I'm with you there.
And I think they take a defensive tackle and maybe an edge pass rusher. I think that because Shaq Lawson hasn't worked out. He's been injured. When he's been healthy, he has not been impactful, especially as a pass rusher.
I don't know if they're going to take an edge, though.
This team can't get pressure. The only way I'd agree with you that they don't take an edge is because I think Sean McDermott, I mean, he comes from Carolina where they just didn't really prioritize the position either.
Yeah, I just don't see him taking edge. I think they've got a couple guys there that they're okay with. I think it's kind of one of those things that we brought the guys in, we've got to invest in him. And even though Shaq Lawson might not be as good as what people thought he was going to be this quick.
He's been a huge miss for me.
I don't know. How high did you have Shaq?
I had him top 10.
Wow.
I mean,
I had Shaq Lawson. I know he was a first rounder for me. I can't remember exactly where I had him. But I'm cool with them using one of their picks. I think they I'm trying to think. I'm wondering if they're going to pick more of a pass rush DT or a run stuff DT. Because they're going to pick a I think they're going to pick a defensive tackle if they stay. I think that's almost a given.
I think Vita Vey is a good possibility here if he's still on the board.
It's true. I don't think he'll still be there, though. I really don't.
Yeah, he might not still be there. We'll see. I mean, the combine's going to tell a lot. Jerron Payne, Taven Bryan, definitely spot for Taven Bryan.
I was going to say, I think it's really going to be a preference between who do you want. You want more of a pass rusher in Taven Bryan, or do you want more of a run stuffer in Jerron Payne? And not to say that either of those guys can't do a little bit of the other. I think the Bills would go for a guy like Payne, actually. So I think Buffalo is probably a good spot for him, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that both those guys are possibilities, and really the run on defensive lineman, we talked about it, but the Chargers – definite possibility. Seattle with McDowell and Sheldon Richardson and Michael Bennett's uncertainty. Definitely a possibility. Dallas, for sure, one of their top needs. Detroit, easily. They might need two guys. And then Buffalo at 21. So, I mean, that's where the run's going to happen right there. If they're
David Shepard might go first round after all, John.
There it is. You might get your wish. You might go there. I think that Buffalo is in a pretty good spot. But the offseason is going to be big for them because I think they really do have four crying needs. And I know maybe I'm overhyping the need of pass rusher, but I really think that they just did not get enough pressure last year on a consistent basis. Jerry Hughes is just kind of a flashy type guy. You know, he'll once or one or two snaps a game, but I don't think they have a consistent guy that can get home. And so I think that has to be a priority. Maybe it isn't in the first round, but maybe later on down the order. So maybe it allows them to focus in on wide receiver and defensive tackle and quarterback in the first round. But if they make some moves in free agency at other positions and add a wide receiver and maybe add another pass rusher, then it really frees you up because it's a deep defensive line class. Take one in the next round. Move up with those first round picks and go get your quarterback. So that could be the strategy we see them going as well. LA Rams. Ooh, this is a fun one because the Rams, they played so well last year on both sides of the ball without a roster that we really thought was going to, like, who would have thought, we always say win in the trenches, right? And a quarterback. Well, we didn't think the Rams were going to win in any of those spots last year, and they won in all of them. I mean, they don't really have a great edge pass rusher. Robert Quinn's not what he once was. He's a guy that there's already talk that could end up be getting cut. And obviously you have Aaron Donald on the inside, but on the edge, they're lacking. They have a bunch of try-hard guys that you'd love to see as depth pieces. Samson Ebukam, Morgan Fox, Ethan Westbrooks has played well. Who else? But one other guy played really well for them this past season. I don't want to forget his name. Oh, Matt Longacre played really well too. Tons of really good depth guy.
I would not have gotten that.
Connor Barwin. I just know because I charted.
You were all alone there. I wasn't gonna be able to help you remember that. You're
not a big Matt Longacre fan.
Look, man. I mean, good kid comes from a great background.
Northwest Missouri State. Not a big Northwest.
I was gonna go on a generic cliche draft rant right there.
You still have Brockers and Donald.
A lot of grit. Worked hard to get here. Yeah, who hasn't, idiot?
That honestly really actually kind of describes him.
That's why it's a cliche, man.
He's kind of the walking embodiment of every Northwest Missouri State kid that's ever been successful at pro sports.
Was a former walk-on, played basketball in high school.
Probably did play basketball. I don't know about the walk-on part, though. If he walked on to Northwest Missouri State and then made it in the NFL. Whew. Anyway, linebacker's a big need for this team, but they paid Al Gogotree all this money.
You're playing in Northwest Missouri State? That's basically walking on to the NFL, though. you're basically like an NFL walk-on. I say that, and now there's going to be a five-star prospect from there next year.
And Northwest Missouri State's, all the Northwest Missouri State listeners that listen to Locked On NFL Draft are going to be coming for your neck. Linebacker position is a need. They paid Alec Ogletree a ton of money. He is not very good. Barron is bad. They don't have any depth.
Tackles.
Yeah, 7 yards downfield.
Yeah.
He is a splash play guy. We'll give him that. But he's bad. And so they need linebacker help, but I don't know if they'll address it because they just gave him a lot of money. I don't know where it's a priority for them.
I think corner is going to be right for them at 23. Right.
corner is going to be huge for them. I mean, and depending on what they do.
I just think that the timing is going to be very right in terms of like how the draft's going to fall, the way we kind of – and, you know, this is all how we're predicting it right now, so
– so it won't go that way.
Lord knows it's going to be wrong in some ways, but yeah. I still think that the cornerback class has a lot of talent, and yet it's got some forgotten pieces in there that – wouldn't force a top 10, top 15 selection. I think Minka's going to be gone at this point. I think Derwin James is going to be gone at this point.
I don't know where Denzel Ward and Joshua Jackson are going to come off the board, but one of them could make sense here. Here's the Rams situation at corner. Nickell Robey-Coleman is their nickel, and he is
free agent, right?
Yes. Tremaine Johnson is a free agent and got tagged last year, I believe, and is set to make bank, so I'm not sure whether he'll be back. LaMarcus Joyner, who's like a safety corner hybrid, does a lot of different things for that secondary, is a free agent, and those are their best three secondary players. Now, John Johnson played well at safety last year. He's an option, but they're kind of almost like a little SOL in the cornerback position right now. You know, they really need some bodies to be able to fill out that group, and so I do expect... I think they'll be able to bring back Robey-Coleman, and I think they'll want to bring back Joyner at least. But Tremaine Johnson's a big loss. He's a really good player for that team. And it wouldn't shock me if they would try to prioritize him. So anyway, we've got some uncertainty, basically, is what I'm saying. If all three of those dudes are back, then maybe we have a different conversation. Maybe it's time to look at see what linebackers are on the board or see what pass rushers are on the board. But if you lose those guys, man, you got some serious issues in the secondary that I think that you really got to sort out. And the offensive side of the ball, in my opinion, you kind of almost got to leave things in the first round. I mean, you have your running back, you have your quarterback. You said you're going to try and re-sign Sammy Watkins or tag Sammy Watkins. So, and you have Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. So the wide receiver position, you're rolling. Josh Reynolds, of course. Andrew Whitworth, the left tackle. You know, your offensive line, that left side played really well. Sullivan's a free agent, but he's older, and you should be able to bring him back. No problem. And later on down the line, I think, yeah, you look for right guard, right tackle depth, and to push those guys, Jamon Brown and Rob Havenstein. But right now, I feel like they're almost set on the offensive side of things. It's going to be about shoring up this defense and making sure that this is a group ready for a title run, because they have a lot of talented pieces, but you got to round out this crew now, and I think it's going to start with re-signing some of those guys too.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's going to be an interesting situation there with a position that they do really need, that they're going to – I mean, it's a position of need, but like you just kind of explained, they have a little bit of creativity with it. They have a couple of decisions of which way they want to go. Do they want to – I mean, it's a position of need because it's something that we see that they struggle with, but they're in a situation where they have the opportunity to change the landscape a lot from their DB group. So
I feel like they have some cap space, don't they?
I don't think they're like cap – locked. I'm
trying to think why they would be strapped. They don't have a lot of...
I don't think so. I think they're probably like in the middle. I think they're average. I think they got some wiggle room.
We're looking. Yeah, they got some wiggle room. They got about 40 mil.
All right,
obviously,
yeah.
You can shuffle things around, do some damage.
Kirk Cousins, come on down, baby. Yeah, we got
if they hadn't given all that money to Ogletree, man, and they gave it to good players instead, they'd be all right. Carolina Panthers.
Rude.
Okay, if you're the Carolina Panthers, you've watched the Panthers. What's their top need? Go. Go.
I mean, what's their most... All right, hold on.
Wide
what's
receiver?
Their most glaring need?
Yeah, like, this pass-catching group is horrible.
No, like, I would have said wide receiver, but, okay. Like, at the same time, they kind of need a little bit of pass rush help and some O-line help, and those are more important positions to the game of football.
Don't
so I thought
disrespect my boy Mario Addison, man. He's an elite edge rusher.
Okay.
He's not elite, but Mario Addison's freaking good.
Like, okay.
I would feel very comfortable with him as our number one edge. And I think Carolina will. But you're right. Okay. Beyond that. Why are you saying
no, it's pass catcher. It's been pass catcher for like 4 years. I just locked up on the spot because I thought you were trying to trick me in front of all my friends. So
no, I do think you make a good point about we'll go back to wide receiver in a second. I think you make a good point about pass rusher. Unless Julius Peppers decides to come back and Deshaun Hall has made big strides. Because Hall, I think he was on IR like the whole year. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was. They
we
took him in the
that
third
an
round.
NFL redshirt, folks.
But basically what it was, they took him in the third round. Wes Horton's been a good depth guy, so I don't know if you're worried about depth as much. And when you have Julius Peppers, you know, I feel like you're at least set enough in that area to not have to address it right away in the first round. But wide receiver is so bad. I mean, Devin Funchess is your number one option right now on offense. Like, what is happening? I don't know, man. Like, this
small
is
forward Devin Funchess.
Basically what it is. I'd be probably
shooting guard shot Devin Funchess.
He did some okay things this year, I'm not gonna lie, but I mean, he's obviously not your top guy. So, and then it's Kalen Clay, Brenton Burson, Russell Shepard, and Mose Frazier.
Hey, don't respect my boy Russell Shepard, former Tampa Bay Buccaneer special teams great. Okay,
that's good for you guys, but he's not even the best special teamer in that wide receiver group because it's Kalen Clay. Wasn't he a former Buck too?
Yes.
Yeah, he was. Kalen Clay's been on the Bucks, Lions, Ravens, Panthers, Bills, and back on the Panthers.
Journeyman, if you will.
I will. And he's the number two wide receiver in Carolina.
So he's broken a lot of apartment leases. You feel me?
And Olsen's aging too. I mean, they have Christian McCaffrey. They drafted a slot receiver eight overall last year.
Does the team pay for you to break your apartment lease when you're getting traded like a deck of cards?
I actually have no idea.
Yeah, see? No, these are the things. This is why people listen to the podcast, Sean. For these out, you know, we get down to business.
We don't even have an answer to that question.
We are logistical about it.
We just created more uncertainty in the minds of everyone.
You got to think about the moves in the NFL because it's a chain reaction, buddy.
Think about how they affect the families. And
how about the economy?
How about Greg Olsen being on the wrong side of 30 and the Panthers need a tight end in addition to having train wreck wide receivers? Good thing for the Panthers, they did spend last year's eighth overall pick on a slot wide receiver, so they have the slot nailed down.
Wow.
The problem is now they need a running back. I mean, like, dude, I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of serious.
Julian Edelman last year, so they got that locked up. All they need is Brady, Gronk, and the greatest head coach of all time, and they've got a recipe there.
Like, I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of serious. The Panthers need a running back. Jonathan Stewart can't do it anymore. Christian McCaffrey ain't going to be your guy. This is a running football team. I mean, Jonathan Stewart's going to be 31. He's had serious injuries. You could see the wheels start to come off last season. Like, he's not the same guy. Is McCaffrey ready to be that guy? Because he sure wasn't as a rookie. He's a great receiving back. Love him in that role. Not taking a receiving back top 10, but I feel like they need a running back. They're not gonna feel that way, I'm sure, but they want to keep believing for at least one more season. But I mean, they legitimately have serious needs at tight end, wide receiver, and offensive tackle. Matt Khalil and Darrell Williams are your starters. Now, Williams played well, and Taylor Moten, maybe he's the guy eventually on the left side. I don't know. He played right side at Western Michigan. We'll see. I thought he may end up being best inside in the NFL. Khalil's probably going to be – you're probably going to have to keep Cam Newton alive with him for one more year unless you use this pick on an offensive tackle. So you've got three serious offensive needs right there. Well, I'll say wide receiver and tackle are serious, and tight ends a little bit more ancillary, but – I don't know, man. Where are you addressing the defensive side of the ball? And you have issues on defense. Thomas Davis is ancient at this point, and he's still a good player, but you got to start to think about that. Luke Kuechly is having he's having shoulder surgery right now, he's recovering from. He's about one concussion away from having to call it quits, and he's one of the best players in the game, but that's just the reality of the situation. Shaq Thompson's been okay, but you have no depth behind those guys. So linebacker's got to be something you think about. You're rolling with the young corners, but safety wouldn't be a bad idea either. Three of your four safeties are on the wrong side of 30, and only one of them's good, and it's Kurt Coleman. They've got some needs, man. It's actually pretty impressive that they went as far as they did, and they lose maybe star Lutulele in free agency. They've got to bring back Andrew Norwell, left guard. Can't lose him. Got to pay for him. He's really good, and they got to keep that interior O-line at least intact. Panthers are in trouble, man. They've got a lot of options. Who do you see on the board that you like for Carolina?
I wish there was a wide receiver, a standout, that they could get. I actually like
the
idea of...
We need
the
combine for this wide receiver group.
I like the idea of James Washington, and...
He's not going first round.
I like the idea of James Washington here because... Well, let me rephrase that. Maybe I don't know if I love it as much at 24, but I think the Panthers are going to, because the Panthers, whether we want them to or not, like, this wide receiver philosophy is probably just not going to change. So it's not a there's not a huge emphasis on this kind of stuff. So James Washington's a guy who is a natural downfield player, and I think that they want to allow – I think they have Devin Funchess in place, and then they want to get a bunch of guys who can stretch the field. Like, I think that's what the Carolina Panthers do. They want to have, like, one red zone threat, and then the rest of the guys are guys who can stretch the field. We know James Washington has a knack for making catches far down the field, so I think that they're going to like that about him there. Then I think they're going to look at the Senior Bowl tape and see, oh, wow, this guy can do a little bit more too, so he might be able to. We're going to convince ourselves that this is our, like, multiple wide receiver, that this is our guy who – this is going to change the way that we draft wide receivers and the wide receiver landscape. Like, we're picking a guy who can do it all. And so – and then I
assume – are you confusing James Washington with George Washington here?
What?
The way that you think he's going to be – you think James Washington's going to be this guy that changes the game for everybody.
No, I'm saying, like, for the Panthers. Like, I think going
– I thought you meant, like, for the NFL.
No. Saying, like, the Panthers are going to pick James Washington as if he's a guy who it's like, hey, he can run the deep ball. But he's also good at, like, short stuffs too. So look at us. We're picking a complete wide receiver. Look at what we're doing. We're going to do something different. And then they're only going to have him run 9 routes. And, like, that's just – and that's just, like, what the Panthers are going to do. So – because they're the Panthers.
But Norv's here now, man. The worst fit in the world, but Norv Turner's here now. So the West Coast offense is coming.
He's not going to do – I mean, he's timing not going to do routes that much. And, is he?
Yeah, dude, probably. Panthers are drunk.
I don't like Norv Turner anyway, so.
I mean, I think he's a great, good guy, but.
Oh, I've never met him. I don't mean that. No, I'm not, like, cursing at his family. Sheesh. Like, what are we talking about here?
We're buddies now. We're buddies. He's a good dude. He's a good human
being.
Wow,
so. Defending the hire, I see how it is. Somebody's getting paid out of under the table, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it. All right.
He's a big supporter of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast behind the scenes. What can I say? Got to take care of our own. No, it's a horrible hire though, for real. And I think you're right. Washington could be a good fit with Turner though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they're going to convince themselves that James Washington is a great pick for them at 24.
If the Panthers pick James Washington at 24, you're going to have some serious bragging rights. Because you just, that was a little rant there. That made me question everything that I know about this draft.
I'm just trying to bring the knowledge, man. That's why I got this new mic. I'm here to bring the knowledge.
That's why. It's the sole reason. Tomorrow we've got, who do we have tomorrow? Tennessee, right? Tennessee at 25, Atlanta at 26, 27 at New Orleans Saints, and 28, my.
That's what I'm supposed to say.
Right, sorry. My Pittsburgh Steelers at 28. And then what's the day after that? Thursday?
I'm excited. I'm excited for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to get to hear you rant about how the Steelers are terrible.
They are not terrible.
Yeah, but like mid-games, you all make it seem like the Steelers are like the worst team ever.
Oh, that's what all the fans of teams with bad records
say.
Yeah,
but it's actually true when we say it about the Bucs.
Yeah, they are, but what the Steelers were bad compared to the expectation level. I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, the Steelers aren't the Bucs, so they're great. No offense. That's not
this mean. Podcast just got extremely rude, and I'm not saying another word for
that's
this.
That's not a very mean. I'm sorry. Thursday, Jacksonville, Minnesota, New England, and Philadelphia. And then Friday, we will squeeze in. Who doesn't have a first-round pick? The Texans and the Chiefs? Yeah, the Texans and the Chiefs. No, yeah, the Chiefs, yeah. I'm right. I think that's the only two teams. We'll squeeze those guys in so you guys can evaluate their off-seasons as well. Until then. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.